Hello, welcome back to our video study through the book of Exodus. In our last video, last week, in chapter 2, we saw how God heard the cries of his people, the Hebrew people struggling through slavery, through bondage in Egypt, and how he worked intricately in the details of the life of Moses to prepare him to be the solution to that problem. As we move forward into the next few chapters in Exodus chapter 3 and 4, we begin to see how God, or what specifically God called Moses to do when he approached him. Now, as we left off in chapter 2, we talked about how Moses was living in the desert with his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, out in the desert, and he served as the shepherd for his father-in-law's flock. Now, the Bible tells us in other places that Moses was doing this for about another 40 years when God called him in Exodus chapter 3, what we're about to study. So that makes Moses about 80 years old now, about 80 years old when the events that we're about to read take place. So what we see is that as Moses is keeping watch over his father's flock, he sees an intriguing sight that is unusual. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God, also called Mount Sinai in other places. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. So essentially what Moses sees here is not something, a bush on fire in the desert is not something that's entirely uncommon. This happens from time to time when it's very dry and the sun is beating down on some of these desert plants. They can spontaneously combust. They can just catch fire. But the interesting thing about this one is that even though it was burning, it was not being consumed by the fire. And so Moses says, what's going on here? Let me go check this out. And verse 4 says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. So now Moses has come near. God speaks to him out of this bush. Again, God can speak to people in many ways. In this case, he chooses to reveal himself to Moses in this way, in the bush, I guess, to get his attention. And he begins to speak to Moses. So Moses now realizes he is directly speaking to God Almighty, the creator of the universe. So as this process continues, God tells Moses the mission that he has for him. Verse 7, then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So God tells him, this is what you're going to do. I'm going to send you to deliver my people from the Pharaoh in Egypt. I've heard their cries. It's time for me to fulfill the promises that I made to their ancestors. And so I'm going to use you, Moses. You're going to go into Egypt and you are going to rescue my people from bondage in Egypt. If you know much about history, around this time frame, the Egyptians were probably, Egypt was probably the most powerful nation on the planet at this point in time. So this is not an easy task that God's giving him, that you're going to walk into Egypt, the most powerful country in the world, and you're just going to take out all of these slaves that they've come to depend on so that you can bring them into the land that I have promised to them. So naturally, Moses' first response is, I'm not an important person. I'm not a powerful person. I'm not a skilled person. He says, who am I that I should go and do this? Who am I to do this? So God has to respond to Moses and sort of convince Moses, or he begins to work to convince Moses that it is not going to be Moses' power or Moses' talent or Moses' importance that is going to accomplish this, but instead that God is going to be the one who works through Moses. God says, when Moses says, who am I to do this? God says, but I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. So Moses says, who am I? God says, don't worry about who you are. I will be with you. Continuing on in the next few verses, Moses continues to protest. So God, he says, Moses says to God in verse 13, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? So Moses is like, I'm going to need to tell people more about this encounter than just saying, a burning bush told me to come and rescue you from Egypt. Now listen to me. So Moses is kind of trying to figure out, look, when they ask, what God are you talking about? What's the name of this God of our fathers? He says, what am I supposed to say to them? And this is when God kind of lays out his plan for what he wants to do with his people, with Moses, and also reveals something very personal about himself, which up to this point in time he had not yet revealed, not even to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, or Joseph, and that is his personal name. God, of course, being a title. It's not actually his name. So he says in verse 14, God says to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Go gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob has appeared to me saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt, and I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice, and you and the elders of Israel will go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us, and now please let us go a 3 days journey in the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. So God establishes to Moses, look, I am who I am. This is the name that he chooses to use, the Hebrew name that is actually it's unclear as to what the correct pronunciation of the name is according to Hebrew scholars, but it's most commonly pronounced Yahweh, Yahweh. So God, he says, I am that I am. And in that, there's really two deep truths that God is communicating to Moses about this. That God is first of all saying, I am self-existent in and of myself. That he's telling Moses here, I don't need other people to exist. I don't need anything else outside of me. I am the self-existent one. I am. And he's also helping to establish as well that he himself is, as the self-existent one, the one who has all power. Okay? I am. You know, usually we think of that as being an incomplete sentence, right? If someone says, I am, you're thinking, you are what? You know, that I am is left open on purpose by God. Because whatever we put at the end of that, he is a natural limitation on him. Because he's more than that. Yes, we can say God is love. That's true. But he's more than that. We could say God is holy. That's true. But he's more than that. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everything all sufficient to accomplish this plan that he lays out to Moses. But he also helps Moses to understand it's not going to be easy. When he tells him in verse 19, "But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty, but each woman shall ask of her neighbor and any woman who lives in her house for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians." So God says, look, it's not easy. I understand Pharaoh is a powerful man. He's ruling over the most powerful country on earth. But he says, I, the all-powerful one, will stretch out my almighty hand and strike Egypt and rescue my people. Moses says, who am I to be able to do such a tremendous task? God says, no, Moses, you're not doing anything. I will work in you. I will work through you. If you continue on and read through chapter 4, you see that Moses continues to make excuses. He says, I don't speak very well. How am I supposed to stand up and speak for people? God says, look, your brother Aaron, he's a good speaker. I'll speak to you what I want you to say. You can tell Aaron, and Aaron can speak to Pharaoh and to the rest of the people for you. That's an easy problem to fix. And so Moses continues in making that excuse about being able to speak is where our memory verse for this chapter is found in Exodus 4, verse 11. Then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? So God's saying, look, again, I'm all powerful. I'm all knowing. Don't you think, Moses, that when I showed up here, I knew that you weren't a good speaker? Don't you think when I showed up here, I'm the one that made your mouth? I know how it works. I know whether or not you can actually do what I'm asking you to do. And so this is another truth that helps us to even consider ourselves. When God gives us a task that he wants us to accomplish, don't you think that he knows who we are and whether or not we actually have the ability to accomplish it? And yet again, in all of this, Moses is forgetting what God has just revealed to him in his name. That Moses needs to rely on Aaron to accomplish, to get these words out. Moses needs to rely on the power of God to do these miracles that will convince all of the Egyptians that God is truly the Almighty One. God doesn't need anyone. God doesn't need anything. He's all powerful. He's almighty. And it is through his power that Moses will accomplish these tasks. I mentioned in the beginning of this series that there are several parallels between the life of Moses and the life of Christ. This is another one of them. We know that Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man, even though a lot of times in Christian circles, I feel like we tend to focus too much on that fully God side, so that when we see the miracles that Christ has done, we think, oh, of course, he's God, so he's doing all these things like walking on water, turning water into wine, stuff like that. But it's very clear when you read the gospel accounts in the scriptures that Jesus was able to do these miracles by relying on the power of God, his Father, and on the power of the Holy Spirit who had anointed him at his baptism. And so Jesus was not using his God attributes to accomplish those miracles. The same way that Moses was going to have to rely on the power of the I Am, the Almighty, in order to do these miracles that would convince Pharaoh to release the people, we see that that is exactly what Jesus did, relied on that same power in order to do the miracles that would convince other people, Jews and Gentiles alike, that he truly was the Messiah and that he had the authority from God to rescue them from slavery to sin. I know this one has been a little bit longer, but there was a lot to unpack, even in just these short few verses. I pray that something said here today has ministered to your heart and that you would share that with others around you. Thank you, and God bless.